If I was corresponding with somebody about a certain subject, and we were exchanging letters about that subject, and let's say, just for example this morning, that we had exchanged 66 different letters about that certain subject. If I wanted to know where that person was today, I wouldn't go back and read the first letter or the second letter. I'd go to the very last letter to find out where that person was and what he wanted me to know about that subject. And that's what we're going to do this morning. Of course, God's ways are above our ways, and He was consistent all the way through the 66 letters or books that we have in the Bible. I mean, you can get as much gospel out of Genesis and Exodus and Deuteronomy and Judges and Ruth as you can out of the book of Revelation. But I want to go to the very last words that God gave us in his revelation to us. And this whole book, by the way, is a revelation from God. It's just the last book that carries that name. And I want to go to the very last words that He gave us and look at the message that He gives us. And I want to remind you this morning that it's an important message. We're not going to talk about them much, but in verse 18 and verse 19, we read just a moment ago, God said, don't mess with my book and don't mess with my message. If you take words out of it, I'm going to add all the plagues that are in this book on you. Now, you just go back to the book of Exodus and you read about some of the plagues that came that God has at His disposal. We studied about them a couple weeks ago in the book of Revelation. He still has them in His arsenal. And I feel sorry for those men that have taken this book and have tried to make it more readable by taking words out of it. You know, some churches today have tried to take the word blood out of the Bible. How can you take the word blood out of the Bible when the Bible says without the shedding of blood is no remission of sins? And I'm glad that we have a bloody gospel. I'm glad that Jesus shed His blood for us. And Jesus says, and God says, and the Holy Spirit says, don't mess with my book. Don't take words out of it. And then He says in verse 19, and by the way, don't add anything to it. Because He said, if you add anything to it, I'm going to take you out of the book of life. I'm going to take you out of the holy city. And all the things that are promised in this book of prophecy, you're not going to have any part of. And I feel more sorry. I mean, it may be one thing to be a Christian and know you're going to heaven and have to suffer all the plagues by taking words out, but it's entirely different when God says, not me, when God says, don't add any words to this book, because if you do, I'm going to take you out of the book of life. Now, it's a pretty important message that He has for us. And He says, don't mess with it. And so I feel sorry for these guys that think they're going to add something to this, the old story that and tell us how to get saved a different way, because they're adding to this book. And the judgment of God is going to be on them for eternity. Now, my message this morning comes from verse 17, where the Bible says, and the Spirit and the bride say, come. And let him that heareth say, come. And let him that is athirst come. And whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. This morning, I want you to notice five things. I want you to notice the three persons that say, come. And then I want you to notice the two who are to come. It's wonderful that God sent Jesus to live among us. It's wonderful that Jesus lived among us for 33 years and lived a perfect life. It's wonderful that Jesus sacrificed that perfect life on the cross to pay for our sins. It's wonderful that He was buried and was in the tomb for 3 days and 3 nights. And it's wonderful that after that time, he resurrected from life. He resurrected from death, came back to life. And by the way, that's the good news of this whole book, from Genesis to the book of Revelation. Paul says, this is the gospel I preach, the death, burial, and resurrection of my Savior. And that's wonderful that the perfect Son of God, and I hope you never lose the wonder of this. I hope when somebody sings a song about victory in Jesus, and when we sing Amazing Grace, and when we sing at the cross, that we never lose the wonder that the perfect Son of God came from heaven, gave his life, so that we could be made right with God. I tell you what, if you lose the wonder, you need to get down on your knees and say, like David did, restore unto me the joy of my salvation. Help me to see the price that was paid so that I could be made right with God. But it's wonderful that he did all that. But let me tell you something else wonderful. It's wonderful that God didn't stop there. I mean, it's wonderful that Jesus came, and it's wonderful that he died, and it's wonderful that he came back from death and came back from the grave, came back to life. But it's wonderful that God doesn't stop there. It's wonderful who he has invited us to come. Notice what it says in verse 17. The first one that invites us to come is the Spirit, the Holy Spirit of God, part of the Godhead. The one who came to earth when Jesus went back to heaven. The one who is all-knowing, all-powerful, ever-present. And the Holy Spirit says to every single sinner. By the way, the Holy Spirit is part of God. And in the book of Romans chapter 2, verse 11, the Bible says God is no respecter of persons. God will come to every person. And the Holy Spirit comes to every person with an invitation, come. 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 To every sinner. And he says, come. And he woos us to the Savior. I mean, just like a young man woos the girl of his choice, or just like a young lady woos the young man of her choice. And that's what the Holy Spirit does to us. He comes and courts us. He comes in and woos us to Jesus. And by the way, if you're a Christian here this morning, and most of us are, I want you to stop and realize that you would not have your position in Jesus Christ this morning if that Holy Spirit hadn't come to you and wooed you to Jesus. Hey, Micah, come up here for a second. I want you to help me. And then, Doug, I'm going to need you and Thomas in just a minute. So you guys might as well come and sit on the front row up here too. But let me just show you something. I've done this before, but come, Micah, you come up here. Hey, Doug, you and Thomas sit right there. I'll use you in just a second. Micah is going to represent all of us as sinners. Why don't you just lay down? I know you're tired, so just lay down. He's up all night flying. So he represents all of us as sinners. And the Bible says that we're dead in our sin. And I could come to Micah as a gospel preacher, and I could share the gospel with him, and I could say, Micah, you're a sinner, and you're on your way to hell, and there's nothing that you can do about it. But I, by myself, I cannot bring him to the Savior. The Bible says that that preaching is foolishness to those that don't know God. And he's dead to everything that I can say to him about Jesus. He's dead to everything that I can say to him about eternity. He's dead to everything that I can say to him about the condition of his soul and what he needs to do. But that's where the Holy Spirit comes in. And I'm so thankful for the Holy Spirit. I mean, I'm thankful for what he does for me as a Christian, but I'm thankful for what he did for me when I was just like Micah, dead in my trespasses and sins, when I thought preaching was foolishness, where I had nothing, wanted nothing to do with God, and wanted nothing to do with the cross, and wanted nothing to do with Jesus. And I'm glad the Holy Spirit came to me as a sinner, and he wooed me to Christ. He whispered in my ear and talked to my soul and said, the gospel is true. It's true. There is a heaven. There is a hell. Your sins are going to take you to hell. But Jesus went to the cross to pay for those sins. And he offers you a relationship with the one that made you. And through that wooing of the Holy Spirit, every single one of us that are here this morning that are called Christian, every single one of us that are here this morning that know for sure we're on our way to heaven, can point back to the Holy Spirit who said to us one day, come, come, come. Thanks, Micah. You can go back and sit with those other two guys just for a minute. Isn't it wonderful that the Holy Spirit did that for us? Isn't it wonderful? I mean, all of us would still be dead in trespass. I mean, I'm glad I didn't have to. I love my preacher. And I love the one that led me to Christ. And I love my grandma for doing all the witness. But they couldn't do it on their own. They couldn't do it without the Holy Spirit's help. And the Bible says, the Spirit says, come. The Spirit says, come. But then it says something else. It says, the bride says, come. That's the church. That's us. That's that called out group of believers. That's the ones who say, hey, I've done it. I've tried it. I've received. And by the way, that's what makes you part of a church. You, many people go to church and they put their name on the church roll. That doesn't make them part of a church just because they get their name on a piece of paper. What makes them a part of a church is they have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. You become part of His church. The universal church, I'm not into the universal church. I'm into the local New Testament church. But what makes you a part of this body is your relationship to Jesus Christ. And so, in that verse, it says, the bride says, or the Spirit says, come, the Holy Spirit, but also the church says, come. Now, church is us. That's us. We go to sinners. We go to people that need Jesus. And we say with the Spirit, come. Come. And we can say it based on our experience. We can say it because we've tried it. We can say it because we were sinners headed for hell with no hope of ever getting out of that sinking sand. We were sinners that could do nothing on our own to pay for our sins. We were sinners that were going to join the devil and all his demons in hell. And we can say, I've tried Jesus, and He works. I've tried to do what the Bible says, and it works. And I put my faith and trust in the Savior, and I know that I'm on my way to heaven. I feel sorry for people that don't have a no-so Christianity. Every single one that has received Christ, based on not what I think, but what it says in that book, can know that you're a Christian on your way to heaven. These things of John, 1 John 5:13, these things are written that ye may know that ye have eternal life. Sure does make a difference when you stand beside somebody's bed in the hospital and they know where they're going. It sure makes a difference when you talk to somebody that has an incurable disease that where death is looming, if they know where they're going. You can rejoice. You can rejoice with them. Hey, we were talking this morning. Heaven, there's nothing to be scared about heaven. In fact, the older I get and the more pains I get, the more I'm looking forward. You guys don't know anything about that yet, but the more I'm looking forward to it. The more people that go to heaven, just calls me more and more to heaven. And so, we say, come. By the way, that's what God commanded us to do. By the way, that's why we're still here. You've heard me say many, many times, and you'll hear, and if the Lord tarries, you'll hear me say many more times in the future. The reason that you're here, still living on earth, is there's somebody that God has for you to invite to Jesus and say, come. Come. Let's get into our Christianity all the way. I mean, let's not be a Christian that sits on the fence. Let's be out and out for Jesus. Let's be out and out for God. Let's live our life just like they sang about a moment ago, in a victorious way, so that other, Dick was talking about an open assembly this morning, so that other people can see our relationship to Jesus and say, I want what you have. I want it. There's something in your life that I don't have. There's something in your life that I'm missing. There's something in your life that gives you peace in the middle of the storm. There's something in your life that gives you joy in the middle of circumstances that don't lead to happiness. There's something in your life. I can see it. I want it. And we as a church should say, come, I'll show you the one that gave it to me. That's why Jesus said to the disciples, and as he said it to them, he said it to all of us, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. I was talking to somebody at work on Friday, and we were talking about the end times. And he said, you know, I always had a problem because I read in the Bible in the end times where everybody was going to hear the gospel and everybody was going to have an opportunity to receive Christ. And I couldn't understand how that was going to happen. He says, but now with the internet, I can see where everybody can hear. Jesus is getting, his coming is getting close. And we, as the bride of Christ, it's hard to deny a bride's request. I mean, when we have weddings and if the bride wants a certain thing, it's hard for me to say no to that bride. And we ought to live our life in such a way that's hard for the world to say no when they see what we have. So the bride says, come. And then I want you to notice that next phrase. And let him that heareth say, come. Maybe one who's not mated to the living well yet. The one who hasn't decided to receive Christ yet, but who's heard the gospel. What that verse says, let him that heareth say, come. I read a story. I'm going to use these three guys here to help me illustrate it. Here, you three guys come with me over here. Here, you go over there and stand against that wall for a second. Here's a story. I read this and I thought about this verse immediately. Caravan out in the middle of a desert. They run out of water. And the way they search for water is this. They send one person out. Okay? And he gets so far to where the next person can barely see him and barely hear him if they shout at the top of their voices. And then he starts out. And the first person goes a little bit further. And then when that second person gets away from the camp so that the next person can barely see him and barely hear him as they, because of the distance in between, the next person starts out. And then they keep going. And then when again that third person gets away from camp and those in camp can just barely see him and barely hear him if they shout at the top of their lungs, they start out. Okay? Then when the first person finds water, he calls out, "Water! I found water! Come get the water!" And then the second person turns and shouts to the third person. Go ahead, Thomas.
Water.
and then the third person, you guys are really helping me. And then the third person turns back to the camp and shouts, oh, come on now, water!
Water!
And then the fourth person turns back to the camp and shouts, okay, thanks, guys. Now, when Thomas was... Who was at the water? I was at the water. I was the only one at the water. I was the only one that could reach down and cup my hands and take a cool drink of water. Thomas wasn't there. He wasn't there yet. But he turned back and said, hey, come on, we found water! He hadn't tasted it yet. He hadn't seen it yet. But he turns back and says, hey, we found water. Come on. Micah hadn't seen it yet. He was further away than Thomas. He couldn't taste it. He couldn't even see it. And yet he turns back to the camp and he says, water, we found water. Come on. Doug was furthest away of all. I mean, he was maybe a couple miles between where he was and where I was. I could drink the water. I could taste the refreshing, how it satisfied my thirst. Doug couldn't. And yet, Doug turned back to the camp and says, "Water! We found water! Come!" And that's exactly what God's saying in this verse. Let him that heareth come. Say, come. I've had people come up to me who do not profess Christ at all, who want nothing to do with the church, who want nothing to do with God. And you know what they ask me to do? They ask me to pray for a mom, or a dad, or a brother, or a sister. They don't know Jesus. They don't have a personal relationship with God. But they say, "Would you pray for my family member? Would you pray for my friend? Would you pray for my loved one?" You've probably experienced that same thing. So the Spirit says, come. The bride says, come. And by the way, we ought to be saying that. We're the bride. Him that heareth says, come. Now notice who are to come. Notice who the invitation is given to. Him that is athirst. Athirst. I went home yesterday after working here to about, we left here about 2 o'clock. And cut the grass. It was about that high, so I had to bale it. But Debbie was gone, but she just made a fresh pitcher of iced tea. And I think I told Wanda not too long ago, if there's anything that I'm addicted to, it's iced tea. I love iced tea. Especially when I get thirsty, like I did yesterday. I cut the grass, and about every hour, I come in, and we have big glasses like that. I get crushed ice, fill that glass up 2 or 3 times, and fill it up with iced tea. And there's nothing as refreshing when you're thirsty to get a glass of iced tea. God says, let him that is athirst come. Say, what does that mean? They're thirsty? Their soul is thirsty. There's something missing in their life. They're not complete. You see, God made every single one of us with a part in our being that longs for a relationship with him. And that's the only thing that will satisfy it. We try to put all the other stuff in there. We try to put money, and we try to put possessions, and we try to put popularity, and people turn to all different sort of pleasure, turn to all sorts of different things to try to satisfy that need that only God can meet. I mean, yesterday when I got thirsty, we had some Diet Coke. Diet Coke doesn't satisfy my thirst when I get thirsty. I mean, I drink Diet Coke every now and then, but when I'm thirsty, I don't want Diet Coke. It won't work. I like water, good cold water, but when I'm thirsty, really the only thing that works for me is iced tea. And Jesus says, let him that is athirst, let him that's missing that relationship with God in their life that nothing else will satisfy, come. Let him come. And then it says, whosoever will may take of the water of life freely. Freely. Who can come? Who can come? Whoever wants to. That's exactly right. Whosoever will. You see, God's not willing that any person should perish. And when the Holy Spirit comes courting, comes wooing, he comes to every single person. The Bible says that God deals to every person a measure of faith. Just enough faith to get saved that the Holy Spirit can use to bring you to Jesus. And when the Holy Spirit comes, it gets down to the question, do you want to come or not? It's your decision. It's a decision of your will. You decide, I'm going to come to Jesus. I'm not going to come to Jesus. The Holy Spirit says, come. The bride says, come. Those that heareth say, come. Now, there's others that tell you that will tell you, don't come. The devil will say, don't come. You don't need to come. Or you can wait. You can do it later. The world will say, nah, you don't want anything. You don't want anything to do with Christianity. They're a bunch of nuts. Stay away from them. And they'll tell you not to come. And even that old nature, that old man that lives inside of every single one of us, he'll put up every argument. Every argument. Say, you don't need to come to Christ. You can do it on your own. You can make it on your own. And he'll argue against it too. And the Holy Spirit comes and says, no. Don't listen to Satan. Don't listen to the world. Don't listen to even yourself. You listen to me. You listen to God. And you come. The preacher was dealing with a man about his soul. And he had a heart. He presented the gospel, did it two or three times, and the guy rejected it and just wouldn't receive Christ. And the preacher said, what's it going to take? Is it going to take a written invitation from God himself for you to come to the Savior? What if God wrote your name and mailed you an invitation? Would you come? And the man said, no, because there may be somebody else with my exact name. And how would I know that the invitation was meant for me? And the preacher said, well, what if he put your address on that invitation, had your name and the place where you lived? And the guy said, well, no, because somebody else might have lived at that same place and had my same name. How would I know that invitation was for me? And they went two or three more gyrations, and the guy said the same thing. And the preacher said, okay, let me turn over here to Revelation chapter 22, verse 17, where it says, whosoever will may come. And the light bulb went on and says, that's me. That's me. The Spirit says come. The bride says come. Him that heareth say come. Who can come? Anybody that wants to. Anybody that wants to. If you're here today and you've never received Christ, you can come. You can make that decision. You can receive Him. I join with the Holy Spirit this morning, and so does every Christian here. You come. You come. You come. And notice what it says, and I'll close with this. May take of the water of life freely. It's free. There's not a thing that you have to do. When Jesus hung on the cross right before he died, he says, it's finished. Everything that needs to be done is done. All you have to do now is decide to take it. Say, well, I'll have to turn over a new leaf. I'll have to live a better life. It doesn't say that. It just says come. I'll have to join the church. I'll have to get baptized. It doesn't say that. It just says come. It just says come. It just says come. Would you come this morning? Now, hey, I know most of us here this morning are Christians. You say, Brother Darrell, why would you preach a salvation message to everybody that's saved? Because we love to hear it just like the rest. Just like the rest. Just like the rest. So if you need to come this morning, you come. Father, thank you for the old, old story. We never grow tired of hearing it. It's so sweet. And I pray this morning that if there's just one here this morning that doesn't know Jesus, that today they would decide a matter of their will, that they would decide to come. Thank you for paying the price for our salvation. Thank you. There's nothing left that we have to do except take it. And Father, I pray that we as Christians that are here, we've already received Christ. We already have that relationship with you. We already have a home in heaven. I pray that you would remind us of what it took. Cost us nothing. Cost you a great price. And I pray that we never lose the wonder of that. That you loved us so much that you sent your only begotten Son to die in our place. And I pray that would spurn us on to action. I pray that would spurn us on to do the things that you call us to do as one of your children. And I pray that one of those things we'd be busy giving the invitation to come to others. Bless the invitation, Father. You use it as you see fit. We'll give Jesus all the glory for everything that's done. For it's in His name we pray. Amen.